this committee on veterans and emergency services. With apologies to the audience, some of the challenges we're facing in this last little bit of April is that we have very tight timelines and some things have to, are we going to move it without an amendment, aren't we, and all those kind of things. At the same time, we have a number of hearings going on at the same time as this one, and there are some issues that there will be members that need to testify. So people are going to be getting called out. We need to have enough people here to vote, and so if we look just a little distracted and confused today, that's the explanation for it, and I apologize. With that, I would like to welcome our audience today. It is State Ambulance Day, and I see that we have just a bit of representation from the emergency services community, and I appreciate you being here. And hopefully we can keep this moving relatively smoothly. With that, I will open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3097. And my committee administrator will keep me on task and tell me where I'm going, right?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3097 allows applicants for certification as emergency medical technician, EMT, or first responders to substitute certification by National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians in lieu of training course approved by the Oregon Department of Human Services, Emergency Medical Services. It removes the state requirement of an associate's degree for paramedics, removes the program's ability to create forms and ask appropriate screening questions, removes program's ability to deny, suspend, or revoke a certification due to the inability to meet mental and physical criteria. It allows individuals to apply and be accepted to become state EMT with only the National Registry. And we have before us a -6 amendment. And if I may, it removes the provisions, amendment, and modifications. It requires the Department of Human Services to adopt rules for certification of EMTs. It conforms to current ORS form and language. It reorganizes section to be more user-friendly. And just for the record here, we have the -6, no revenue impact on this, and we are waiting on a fiscal from LFO, and they said that they may bring this to us by the close of our hearing here.
So by way of explanation for the audience, if we don't have a report from the on the fiscal ramifications of a bill, we can't move them in final work session. So if we don't have that drop through our door before the end of this hearing, we will not be actually moving this bill, but we will be talking about it. And Representative Matthews is back to explain where we are on this bill.
Thank you, Chair Cowan, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Greg Matthews, State Representative for House District 50, the great city of Gresham. I'm here before you today on House Bill 3097, and last time we discussed it, we had talked about the need to change the bill. What you heard in terms of the introduction of the bill is not actually what we were attempting to do. We have held a work session. I want to again commend all those that have participated. We've had some folks from DHS, of course, ambulance service, fire service. We've got public and private stakeholders. We've gone a long ways in a short time, and ultimately, with the help of LC and their availability, we've come up with the thought that this is something that would be better in terms of rules if we were to direct DHS to adopt rules. And again, this is not necessarily, I like to think of this as not compromising the integrity of the current system itself, but simply recognizing somebody that would have out-of-state. So this applies to reciprocity and somebody that has out-of-state. And again, it'll be decided through rules with DHS how much experience that would be and how that transfers. But it would be more of a reciprocity issue of people transferring back into Oregon or from a state into Oregon that would already have been performing as emergency medical technician, paramedic. Again, it was decided this way because it only appears in statute and rule as paramedic is defined, rather than try to go through a lengthy process with LC and come up with probably a draft that we wouldn't want to live with anyway. It was felt that we'd be better to accomplish something with everybody still sitting at the table as stakeholders and move this thing forward in rules. And so, and when I say by rules, through DHS. And so that's the amendment you have before you, the -6 amendment. That is a product, I guess, that I'm carrying forward. And I'm proud to say I'm carrying it forward with the I'll say unanimous because I think that's what we had, consent of the stakeholders that were in the room available. And again, I appreciate their time and their commitment to the concept and respect the fact that Oregon is, you know, the only state that recognizes that the two-year degree requires a two-year degree, but their effort in that is to be leaders in EMS. And therefore, with respect to that, I don't want to do away with that, but I do want to have the exception, and the bill would give that rule change in direction to do so.
Representative Matthews, if I understand you correctly, the goal with this bill was to recognize individuals who have national registry as an EMT paramedic and to be able to grant them licensure in Oregon, although they might not have the two-year associate's degree that's required by Oregon something to obtain the paramedic status.
That's correct, Chair Callan.
And then I think I the way I heard you is that the work group established that those guidelines are established in rule anyway, so to take this question back through the rulemaking process rather than put it into statute, into state law.
Chair Callan, that's correct. I think Dr. Ritu Sani will probably address that issue.
Okay.
If he could.
Excuse me, I wanted to give you a shot at this, and then all the rest of the folks who are testifying maybe could address it. I think where the confusion is for me right now is if that is done by rule, can be corrected by rule, why are we writing a new law?
The law would give the direction to DHS to do that change and to work down that road. Currently, the effort has been only to require an out-of-state reciprocity, someone from out-of-state, to come in and, regardless of experience, still obtain a two-year degree. That's problematic to folks that are coming into our state with families and career and to obtain that education, particularly when they've already performed at that level. That's where the really problem existed with us trying to define that term without more conversation. That is, if somebody's been certified for 5 years, technically you could be a certified paramedic, work at Macy's for 5 years, never work on a patient, but maintain certification through just continuing education. We didn't want that situation. The other thing, we wouldn't want to set it so high or the threshold so high that you had to have X amount of patient contact to make you qualify. And it's a discussion that we'll have. And again, this is a direction for DHS to modify those rules to include and to make that determination between work experience, job related, and the two-year degree.
Has the conversation come up prior to this legislation within the department about making those modifications and rules?
It's something that I got the impression from first contact that they weren't interested in entertaining that idea. They were concerned, and I think they have reasonable concern, that we were trying to do away with a two-year degree altogether. Although I will say I believe there are some stakeholders, I wouldn't speak for them, that would favor that. It was believed that with the effort that was put forward by all those involved to establish a two-year degree, that we would respect the fact that that's what they had in place. You know, the question becomes, if Oregon is the leader in the degree aspect of EMT, then are you a leader if there's nobody behind you? No other states have adopted that same platform, but I respect the fact that we have, and if we're better for it, then I want to leave it there. But again, I just strongly believe, and again, thinking about reintegration of some military soldiers, which we've also worked with and didn't need to cover in the bill because currently we are working towards combat medics who can transition to the National Registry Basic and have that curriculum transfer as well. So
okay.
I'm convinced we've done that. I'm not convinced that we would get to the out-of-state recognition of service in lieu of the tier degree if we didn't have this.
Okay. Thank you. We'll call up now Mark Stevens, Dr. Sani, and Sean Baird. And if you gentlemen would keep in mind, I'm still struggling about the need for just addressing this in rules or having a new law to say we're going to address it in rules. However you'd like to orchestrate this.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Ratu Sani. I am the medical director of the Oregon EMS and Trauma System, which is in the Office of Community Health Planning, in Public Health, in DHS. I also would like to just, for your information, mention that I am also on the board of directors of the National Registry of EMTs and quite familiar with the processes that they undergo and how we get there in terms of certification, so I can address any questions about how the registry works. I am testifying today in support of 3097. I wanted to thank Representative Matthews for inviting us to be part of the working group, and I also wanted to thank the members of the working group for expressing confidence in our ability at DHS to work with them and come up with rules that we believe will, as Representative Matthews would like to do, give credit for experience but not water down our degree requirement and continue to have what we believe is an outstanding initial education process for our EMTs and paramedics. That was all I had planned to say, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Should we go through the panel, or do you want to?
Well, Madam Chair,
Representative Riley.
I believe that this is the exact person we need to answer your question. He has both of the qualifications needed to talk to that. So if you would, you know, tell us, if we don't pass this law, can you do what this law, since you support it, and you seem to me to be in the position to do it, why do we need this law?
I would say that there had been conversation about the associate's degree requirement prior to the discussion of this legislation, but I would say that Representative Matthews introducing the legislation really pinned down for us the issue that he was discussing, and what the law would require us to do then would be to address the very specific issue that Representative Matthews was concerned about. If the question is, could we do it through rule alone, the answer is yes, we could. Clearly, if there's law, it gives us a little more oomph, if you will, sir, to get that done in a timely fashion.
I'm going to follow up on, thank you. The question was, could you do it? And I guess maybe a follow-up on that would be, would you do it without having the law?
Exactly. Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, yeah, now we would.
Mission accomplished.
Appreciate the honesty.
My questions are answered.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's get us back here.
For background, this issue was discussed. That we had a rules revision one or two years ago, kicked in last year. This issue was discussed, the issue of the associate's degree. And at that time, while there was not consensus, there was enough agreement that we maintain the associate's degree requirement. The issue was not discussed to the specificity of endorsement, at least in the sessions I was in. Those rules changes had been discussed for 6 years, and I've only been here for about a year and a half, so I can't tell anything that was discussed before I got there.
Thank you.
So I guess one might say that this proposed legislation has sort of focused the issue more surgically than just should there be a two-year degree requirement, but specifically on individuals who come into our state with national registry certification from other training programs.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on. Whichever of you would like to go next here.
Sure. For the record, my name is Mark Stevens. I represent the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association and the Oregon Fire Medical Administrators Association. Last time I was here, we testified, actually opposed to the original language. Since then, as Representative Matthews mentioned, we went to work group and have since come to a consensus on a direction. The Fire Chiefs Association is currently in support of the language that's in front of you, but with some angst, and it's mainly just because in some views, some of our our members feel it is a drop of a standard from just being an outright associate degree to we don't know what might be equivalent to that. Looking at the nursing, for example, there's a nursing shortage, but they're not dropping their degree requirement. Those kind of comments are what I'm hearing from my membership. But with that said, we are in support of it to move ahead and discuss what might be an equivalent, because we also recognize there may be issues in portability of getting paramedics from out of state into Oregon. And if we can help solve that issue with some middle ground, we are all for that as well. So the Fire Chiefs Association is in support of it and look forward to participating in the rules process.
Thank you. Representative Widener.
Actually, I'd probably go back to the doctor here. I'm actually one of the co-sponsors on this bill, and when Rep. Matthews brought it before me, the reason I jumped on, I had a good friend who had moved here who had been a paramedic for 10 years. And he was married, had kids, and wasn't able to get a job and ended up going to work in a completely different field. So if you just changed it in rules, that wouldn't change it from somebody else switching it back 5 years down the road, would it?
Madam Chair, Representative Widener, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I mean, obviously, if he's still nationally registered as a paramedic, we would probably be able to, but I don't know that we would sort of go back. But I don't know without knowing what the rules are going to say.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
That's what I was meaning. If, say, you changed it in rules today,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you're gone in 5 years, someone else comes in, they can switch it back if we didn't have a law in place, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Widener, it's not, I don't change it. I'm just one person, and we have to go through a hearing process as well as a public process to change any rules. And I'm confident that, that any such process would protect that sort of issue from happening if it really came down to a question of an individual's personal preference. What I could see happening is in 5 to 10 years that the profession as a whole across the country moves to an associate's degree, and then you'd run into a time where there was the vast majority of the workforce had associate's degrees, and that it would be revisited in that manner.
Thank you. Mr. Baird.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Sean Baird, the owner of Woodburn Ambulance Service and president of the Oregon State Ambulance Association. And our members are in support of 3097 as the amendments that were worked out in the work group. We think that Representative Matthews put together a good group of stakeholders to come up with a solution that would work for agencies employing EMTs and paramedics in Oregon, particularly outside the Willamette Valley, where we have, and even within the Willamette Valley, for example, in my service, which is much smaller than those in the Portland metro area, we have significant recruitment and retention issues that we believe that this process will help us address.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any further questions for this distinguished panel? Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say thank you again, gentlemen, for your time. I know that it's been a great deal of your own personal time coming away from your other responsibilities to do this, participate in the work group, and thanks for your input. It's very valuable. Look forward to, if we decide to move forward, look forward to working with you further. And I also want to recognize that you can give me all the credit in the world, Mr. Baird, but it's you folks coming together, and also Andy Darkins, who does a great job in our office that helped assemble this group and participate in the process. So thank you very much for working with us.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Evans, did you want to add on this one?
Chair, Council members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Evans. I'm again, still policy advisor to Governor Kungoski and Emergency Management, Military and Veterans. It's a good week. Just wanted to say that I appreciate Representative Matthews and really the whole work group on focusing on an issue that did come to light during the Veteran Services Task Force that we believe is important for the medics that serve and could potentially serve in the non-military roles. And we just appreciate everybody's focus of attention on this. So, good bill. Do pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any questions? Okay. We'll let you off easy today.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who was interested in testifying on this subject that didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay, with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3097 and open a work session on House Bill 3097 for the purpose of considering the Dash 6 amendment, which I think is critical to the meaning of this legislation. Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I moved the Dash 6 amendments to 3097 as an appendage.
Thank you. We have a motion for approval of the Dash 6 amendment to House Bill 3097. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And that will give our administrator direction to get the fiscal arranged for this bill as amended as opposed to in its original format, and we'll be able to bring it back. Thank you for your work on this. I will close the work session on House Bill 3097. And open a work session, public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3059. Mr. Molina.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3059 provides legal authority to the Oregon Trauma Registry to make use of trauma and injury data to improve patient care outcomes. It requires guidelines to how data can be used for medical researchers to improve health care while protecting patient confidentiality, conforms to current ORS form and language. It declares emergency effective on passage. As of right now, we have no amendments to this. And we'll also bring to your attention no revenue impact to this. And the fiscal statement has been issued indicating you have it before you here, but I want to repeat it one more time, is that the Department of Human Services states that passage of the bills will have no fiscal impacts on the department. And also to your attention, there was a motion or a letter for removing the subsequent to ways and means. It is back now to subsequent to ways and means, just for clarification purposes.
I'm not quite sure I got that clarification. It does or it does not have a referral to ways and means?
Madam Chair, my mistake, it does have a subsequent referral to ways and means.
Okay, so we did not get a...
We did not get approval, no.
Approval for that, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But to the best of our knowledge, it does not have a fiscal...
That is what...
...impact. And we have the statement that both the Oregon Health Sciences University and the Department of Human Services state that the passage of this bill will have no fiscal impact on the department, which are the key players in this. So that's kind of interesting that we couldn't get that removed.
Yeah. We tried, Madam Chair.
We have sent the letter, and it has had action on it, or has it just not been attended to yet?
We did, and it was denied, but we...
All right. Okay. Okay, I do not have anyone signed up to testify. I know that Dr. Higginson was not feeling well. And is there anyone else from the department that would like to address this? Well, I'm just asking if anybody... Thank you for stepping up to volunteer here.
Thank you. Chair Cowan, members of the committee, my name is Robert Leopold. I am the Emergency Medical Services and Trauma Systems Program Director in the Division of Public Health of the Department of Human Services. We continue to support this bill. We have had a trauma registry for approximately 20 years. The trauma system has been in place for 20 years, and the registry was organized shortly after the system was developed. We don't believe we've really taken advantage of this resource to use it to help improve the system, and that's why by establishing it in statute, we would be able to write regulations which would make this data available to researchers, and we could also share it with the other people who provided services. For instance, the emergency medical service workers who transported a patient could actually find out how their care went and whether or not they were successful. So I hope that we're able to find a way to pass this. If there are any questions, let me know. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Widener and then Representative Ridley.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Who was first?
The information is just going to record different types of trauma. It's not going to have the patient's name, all the HIPAA stuff. It's going to be protected.
Madam Chair, Representative Widener, the information in the trauma registry describes the care of each patient. You can identify their names. What we're proposing to do is release that, and it would depend on who we were releasing it to and what the circumstances were as to how it would be released. So if we were releasing it to the State Trauma Committee in an open session, it would all be de-identified. We'd be talking about trauma patients maybe by county or something like that. If you were doing a case review in a closed session with the surgeons and physicians from a couple hospitals, they would be talking about these specific cases. They probably would have x-rays, test results, and all sorts of things. So the way you use the data depends on the circumstance.
Thank you. Representative Bradley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had discussions about this. We talked about it in the last hearing on this, and I've had discussions with the department since, and there are a couple of ways that I'll be okay with this. One is if in fact the amendments that we talked about happen in the Senate, I'll be okay with that. If in fact we're not able to do that and they do this in rulemaking, I will kind of be okay with that and keep an eye on it, and if it doesn't come out right, we'll fix it.
Thank you. Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to say thanks for bringing this forward. This is a bill that I think is important. I think it helps our patient outcome and for future studies and whatnot. We have participated in a number of studies in the metropolitan area, in the Portland metro area, firefighters, ambulance companies, and everybody else. And I think that the end result is always you collect that data and you best learn what's going to work and what's going to be best for patients, whether intubation with the King Airways or what you're doing. So thanks for bringing it forward, and we'll see if we can get it through.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your comments. And I think I would like to add mine on to Representative Matthews. I think it's important to focus the purpose of providing information is in order to improve patient care, to learn from what we're currently doing, how we may do things better. Case review has always been a part of the growth and development of the medical system, and I think it is just as important in this world. So I, too, thank you for bringing that forward.
Thank you.
And with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3059 and open a work session on House Bill 3059. We do, as we just discussed, have the fiscal impact statement available, which indicates there is none. However, the bill still holds, has attached to it a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. So if there's no further discussion, and please don't ask me to explain that, Representative Esquivel, despite the look on your face, because I cannot. We tried.
Well, you and I are at least on the same page then, I'm sure.
At this particular moment in time. With that, I would entertain a motion on House Bill 3059 and recognition of its subsequent referral. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Madam Chair, since we're on the same page today, I move 3059 to Okay, I move adoption of 3059 and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
With, I'm assuming, a due pass recommendation.
With a due pass recommendation, I guess.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Escoville moves that we move House Bill 3559 forward with a due pass recommendation and acknowledge its subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion, any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Widener.
Why do I have a feeling this bill will end up in consumer protection here in 2 years?
I sincerely hope not, Representative.
I hope not, too.
Thank you. With that, Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Justin Boone.
Aye.
Escobell.
Aye.
Kahn.
Aye.
Friday.
Aye.
Widener.
Aye.
Raymond.
Aye.
Matthews.
Aye.
Chair Cowan.
Aye. Thank you. Having received the necessary majority, House Bill 3059 is referred to the House Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. I will now open a public hearing on House Bill 3255.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3255 provides flexibility for emergency ambulance service providers during a declared state of emergency, prohibits county, city, special district, or 911 jurisdiction from penalizing these agencies for not meeting required response times and staffing level. It declares emergency effective on passage. As we've seen before in our last meeting, there are no amendments to this, and for our review as well, there is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact to this as well. We do have a, and correct my statement here, we do have a dash one to the 3255.
And I believe that Representative Matthews and Freeman are anxiously awaiting the opportunity to explain that to us.
Yes, Manager.
Thank you. Gentlemen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Greg Matthews, State Representative, House District 50, the great city of Gresham. We're here today, I'm alongside my friend, Representative Freeman. I want to be very thankful to Representative Freeman for just a moment and recognize that because of the timing of everything that was occurring, and of course with this pending day of the ambulance service, which I'm very proud to have them here in the room as well, I was unable to be part of the work session on the morning. Representative Freeman, in respect of the time, continued on with those folks and conducted the meeting, which I really appreciate you doing that. I had to attend a funeral that day and was not present. We've since gotten together, and what we determined was they came to consensus in the meeting on a dash one amendment. However, the dash one amendment did not meet the relating clause. And it was a combination and a culmination of everybody coming together again saying, you know, this is a good bill, the way it's written. We truly don't need to amend it to try to make it better and in the process risk losing something, just to express a few concerns. So what I want to do is Representative Freeman and myself have penned a letter basically stating what this bill is intended to do. Now, keep in mind, we strongly feel that this bill is necessary because, quite honestly, the good men and women, some of which are seated in this room, that serve our community, public or private, put themselves at a great deal of risk. And in the call of emergency sometimes, if they're under contractual obligation by response times and resource, they're already facing an uphill battle that they can't meet the challenge. So rather than them risk themselves in fear of some sort of a disciplinary action, and not meeting that contractual obligation, this bill would recognize that under declaration of emergency by the governor, those folks could not be penalized for not meeting those restrictions. And I think that's a very important point in this. It didn't need to say anything that wasn't intended in the bill. So the bill stands on its own intent. The bottom line, I guess, is I've submitted a letter that we'd like for the record by both, chief sponsors of this bill, stating basically, and I'll just summarize, that the intent isn't for this to be manipulated later in future negotiations or for those to just abandon all ability to, again, public and private, to abandon the ability to serve their community. It is what it is. In time of declaration, it allows those folks and allows them to continue to do their work without threat of penalty later for not meeting the demands in a contract under great circumstances. So, again, I support the bill 3255. I would like you to ignore the amendment, although I appreciate the good work of LC. I apologize to them for having them draft an amendment when they have other things to work on. But in reality, we needed to hear that back so we could focus on what we need to do, which is pass this bill 3255.
Thank you. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Tim Freeman, State Representative, House District 2. This bill allows people to do the right thing without being punished for doing that. We need to pass it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just for clarity, we do have the letter signed by both of these gentlemen in the file for reference. And in case there was any confusion, all bills have a what we refer to as relating clause and assume that everyone else understands what we're talking about. This particular bill, it reads, relating to emergency response times and declaring an emergency. And so when we got into some staffing kinds of conversations, it moved away from the relating clause that dealt only with response times, and that's a subject for another time, another place. This one simply says, if the weather's so bad you can't get there in the time you said you were going to get there, we understand. What good timing. Thank you very much. And we do have a couple of individuals who would like to testify. Are there any questions for these two?
Could they repeat what?
I struggled.
Be quiet. Good building.
Madam Chair.
That's what they said.
If I could please, too, I, again, would like to thank, this was a combination of putting the public first, and I'd like to thank Paul Evans of the Governor's Office, obviously, helping us bring this forward, but the folks that represent the ambulance service and our ambulance owners and drivers, but also the firefighters, the Fire Chiefs Association. So this is really, truly everybody coming together for the best interests of the community and how do we best protect them. And, again, good bill should pass. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. With having just heard the compliment, we'll call forward Paul Evans and Sean Baird. We're not dealing with the dash ones because they don't work with the relating clause. That's the sum total of what that was all about.
Okay, I just
Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, thank you. I just wanted to comment that this is really nice for me to be sitting up on this end of things and over to the side of the gavel. I see this as continuation of some of the work we've started up to almost 6 years ago now. So this is great.
Yes, it is nice to see. You want to dress draws or would you like to go ahead, Mr. Evans?
Chair Cowan, members of the committee, I'll go real quick. Thank you very much for the compliment. I this is one of those issues that I think is, it's a little small loop that's now closed, and it will protect people that are trying to do the right thing. And I just want to assure that everybody that the letter as well as the dash one amendments, though they're not a part of the official bill, will certainly go in my little red book so that whoever has the job after me, maybe next week or so, is ready to go. So if this ever happens, all issues are covered. I do want to say thank you very much, though, to Representative Freeman and Representative Matthews for the leadership on this and putting together the right work group committee. And I, too, concur that reaching the consensus the way we did, even though the amendment doesn't go forward, brought a lot of people around the table to recognize what the real problem was. So thank you very much for your leadership on that.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Sean Baird, Oregon State Ambulance Association, and here to testify in support of 3255, even without the amendments. And I think the testimony before me speaks to the issue well.
Thank you very much. The interference you're hearing is because of someone's communication device, pager or cell phone, not being turned to off. Unfortunately, just silencing it doesn't do the job. I always hesitate to say that in a group like this who probably has a reason for having some of their pagers on. So as best we can, let's try to work with that. Are there any questions for these gentlemen? I think he's just pointing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3255 and open a work session on House Bill 3255. Representative Freeman.
He
I can't look both directions at the same time.
Madam Chair, I would move to send House Bill 3255 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. We have a motion before us to move House Bill 3255 forward with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Debbie, could you call the roll?
Thank you.
Aye.
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 Riley.
Aye.
Wagner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Matthews.
Aye.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 3255 is moved forward to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I'm taking a wild guess that Representatives Freeman and Matthews would like to be co-carriers.
Representative Freeman can carry it, and I'll support him if you'd like it. That'd be great.
Well, I'll sign this to Representative Freeman. Thank you very much. All righty. I think I closed that work session, didn't I? Not I did. We will now open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3221.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3021. 3021 revises and clarifies Oregon Tort Claims Act relating to emergencies and emergency responders. It designates qualified emergency service volunteers, health care providers, health care facilities, operators of emergency health care centers, and search and rescue volunteers to serve as agents of a public body under the Oregon Tort Claims Act during a declared emergency event. It further provides for appropriate workers' compensation coverage. And we do have before us here a dash one amendment, as you will recall from the on the 7th of April, and a dash two as well. Let me go over these really quickly for us. The dash one clarifies several sections of the bill based upon recommendations of the Oregon Law Commission. It reorganizes Chapter 401 to be more user-friendly. And a dash two amendment that provides counties an option to provide either workers' compensation coverage or medical insurance to the injured qualified search and rescue volunteer. We have a
To the qualified volunteer, should they be injured?
Yes, Madam Chair. Should they be injured? And we have a no revenue impact on this, but we are pending on a dash one and two fiscal, and so
okay.
At this time.
Thank you. We have signed up today to testify Wendy Johnson and Christy Nielsen from the Oregon Law Commission and Paul Snyder from the Association of Oregon Counties. There's three chairs. Why don't you all come on up? And I thank the good folks with the Law Commission for many hours of hard work as we all sat through work sessions and a variety of things getting to this bill. And Paul joined us in those processes as well. So thank you for coming today. Wendy, Christy, where do we start? Okay.
Chair Cowan, members of the committee, my name is Wendy Johnson, Deputy Director and General Counsel for the Oregon Law Commission. As your committee administrator explained, we were here before you on April 7th, and you heard from our co-chairs, Greg Mao and Greg McPherson from the commission, as well as Chair Shetterly. I just want to remind you briefly what this bill is about and make a couple of thank yous that I was not able to get into the record. David Hendricks was the legislative council drafter on this very complicated bill, which eventually will reorganize the whole chapter as well as deal with some of these liability issues. But wanted to thank David Hendricks and the work group itself. This bill is relating to emergencies. I thought Representative Cowan explained that relating clause very well. The emergencies that we're talking about in this bill are state-declared emergencies as well as search and rescue emergencies. State-declared meaning declared by the governor, state of emergency or public health emergency. So those are the only types of emergencies we're talking about in this bill. And on the state side, we're talking about protecting volunteers who are known as qualified emergency service workers, and we're protecting them from if they injure someone else in tort, and if and if they injure themselves. On the state side, we're protecting volunteer individuals, we're protecting entities with Tort Claims Act protection if they're volunteering, and we're also protecting health care providers. But it's a very narrow circumstance. They have to be directed by government for the health care provider, and as well as for the individuals and the entities, they have to be directed by government and be qualified, and the bill explains those qualification standards. But basically, we're talking about registered, and the government is directing them what to do. So it's going to help on our prevention and make sure we have the right qualified people on the ground, and only those folks are the ones who will have these protections in Tort Claims Act and workers' comp. You have the bill before you, as well as the Dash 1 amendments. The Dash 1 amendments are part of the Law Commission's recommendations. They just weren't finished before the bill had to be dropped. So we would ask you to support both the bill and the Dash 1s. This bill is really a balancing, to balance the burden that's placed on a volunteer who's putting themselves in harm's way to assist during an emergency versus the burden on the public bodies to take on this liability, and it's a balancing, and so we're not providing protection of every volunteer. It's a limited group of volunteers and a limited circumstance. So I just want you to keep in mind that balancing. To my right is Christy Nielsen, staff attorney with the Law Commission, and she'll explain the other part of the bill, which is emergencies as it relates to counties with search and rescue.
Thank you. Christy.
Chair Cowan, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Christy Nielsen. I'm the staff attorney for the Oregon Law Commission. Wendy's explained the first major substantive piece, which was the statewide volunteers, and then the next major policy section of this bill or substantive section would be relating to search and rescue volunteers, which is under county control. Usually the sheriff is directing the search and rescue efforts within the county, and really, this bill mirrors those statewide provisions as far as search and rescue goes. So these search and rescue volunteers, if they're qualified and if they're directed by the county for which they're serving, they receive both tort claims protections and workers' compensation protections under the bill. The Dash 2 amendments that are before you today provide for an option from the counties to either provide workers' compensation benefits or medical benefits to search and rescue volunteers who meet the criteria of the statute but are injured during the course of assisting during an emergency. This was something that was discussed during the work group process. There was a division on the in the work group as to which option should be selected, whether it should be workers' compensation or this medical benefits. Eventually, the work group did determine that they believed the workers' compensation piece of it was the better option to take. And knowing that there was a split, the Law Commission did vote to pass the bill to you in its form with the workers' compensation. We believe this is a policy consideration that you all need to make. We're not taking an official position as to this Dash 2 amendment. The reasons that it was selected ultimately by the work group and the commission was that this makes it consistent with, if you select workers' compensation, it makes it consistent with how statewide volunteers are being treated. It also makes it consistent with the employees of the county. So employees for the Sheriff's Department get the same benefits as the volunteers who are working side by side and providing the same volunteer services. This also makes it consistent county to county when you're out doing a search and rescue, then if they cross between counties that have different liability protections that could be, or different compensation provisions that could cause some problems when jurisdictions are crossed. It also provides an exclusive remedy for the counties. If workers' compensation benefits are provided, then they can't be sued in tort if there's negligence that would be alleged by the person that's injured. So that does limit the risk of the counties. And also, this would make the volunteer more whole than just providing medical or disability benefits. And I just wanted to also point out that in the discussions in the work group, when there was a division, the other option was to provide medical benefits and disability, and that's not within the Dash 2 amendment. So it is a little bit different than the other option that was discussed during the work group process. To point out, though, there are, you know, downsides to the workers' compensation piece. It is a mandate upon the counties that there's a cost associated with that. So that's something to be considered. And also, it separates search and rescue volunteers within the county from other volunteers within the county because it's not providing workers' comp to the library volunteers and other volunteers, just to these special types of volunteers. So there is some different treatment here. And this is all discussed in the report that we gave on the 11th, or on the 7th, as part of our testimony. So I think that covers it. Oh, and also, I submitted testimony from a work group member. He couldn't be here today, Rob Cruikshank. He was here at the last time, and he just wanted to provide some input on the Dash 2 amendment.
And we'll make sure that gets into the record.
And
thank
I'm
you.
Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Well, let's go ahead, and then we'll see if there's any questions for this group.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, and appearing this afternoon in support of House Bill 3021 with amendments. We support the bill, we support the Dash 1 amendments, and we're here also in support of the Dash 2 amendments. Now, the Dash 2 amendments, I think, have been pretty well characterized in terms of what decision points they represent for you. With respect to the issue of workers' compensation mandates on counties or whether the counties should have the option to provide either workers' compensation coverage or medical insurance coverage for qualified workers, or excuse me, volunteers. The work group met last summer, over the period of the summer and then into the fall. At the same time as this work group was meeting, another work group was meeting. It was the Governor's Task Force on Federal Forest Payments and County Services. That work group was convened because of grave concerns about the fiscal condition of counties, primarily the counties that rely heavily on federal forest payments. That work group put together its own recommendations, copies of which we have and are available to the members, but I just point out the cover of the work group report indicating counties that are in red were designated as critical, in critical condition with respect to their financial condition of those counties. The reason why I point that out, as an aside as well, that everybody knows the federal forest payments were partly reauthorized by the Congress in the fall of this last year. They were reauthorized at a declining funding level so that after a period of 4 years there would no longer be that level of subsidy by the federal government for the county forest payments. That would leave the counties with whatever actual revenues occur from the forest harvest themselves. And I think, as most of you know, that level of compensation is very, very low. So the financial situation of the counties is much like the financial situation of the state right now. You will be faced, as you probably already have, with very, very difficult decisions that you have to make about where you balance your resources against the demands that are placed on your resources. Having said that, we rely very heavily and depend very, very much on the goodwill and the work of volunteers in order to do search and rescue. They are invaluable to the ability of counties to provide the services that are needed when somebody gets lost or somebody gets in trouble in a situation that calls for a search and rescue effort. And with respect to that, our amendment does not take the approach of saying that workers' compensation is an unfunded mandate and therefore we recommend that you take that section out. Rather, our recommendation is that you give the counties the choice. Give us the choice to provide workers' compensation coverage or medical insurance coverage for these affected volunteers. My understanding is that virtually every county right now provides one or the other. And insofar as the workers' comp costs compared with the medical insurance costs, I think the staff of the Law Commission makes a good point. There is the issue of, first of all, whether additional liability exposure might exist for a county if it shows the medical insurance approach rather than the workers' comp approach. Under the workers' comp law, that's the exclusive remedy. In other words, when you receive workers' comp benefits, you cannot file a lawsuit for negligence against the public employer or any other employer if you're covered by workers' comp in that situation. The issue with respect to that, though, is that a negligence claim in a situation like this is very, very rare. And even in the case of the medical insurance situation, I know one county in which Mount Hood is located. It's primarily located. It has only had a couple of claims for their medical insurance payments from affected volunteers. But the fact of the matter is that the medical insurance provides the kind of coverage that at least applies to the injuries that may be sustained by the people who perform that service. So here we are. In the case of the medical insurance premium versus the workers' comp premium, we've contacted a number of counties, some of which are self-insured, that currently provide medical insurance, that indicate that to switch to workers' comp would be a significant cost increase for the county. One of the problems with an unfunded mandate is that you often don't know what the net impact is going to be later on. A mandate takes off the table the ability to balance that particular cost against all the other costs that you have to balance that against. And sometimes one of the ways that works out is you might wind up in a situation, if the workers' comp were required in every county in every case, that you have fewer volunteers that the county covers simply because it's got to spread those costs and the costs are higher than they were before. You might also have more volunteers, but not the ones who are qualified, not the ones who have been trained, not the ones who are under the control of the sheriff, but they just show up because nobody else or not enough other folks are there to provide the service. So I don't think either one of those circumstances are the kinds of things that are desirable in this kind of a situation. For those reasons, we recommend the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3021.
Thank you, and I just want to make sure that we have on the record the concerns of Robert Cruikshank, who has sent all of us a letter, and essentially you recall his testimony involved a discussion of some injuries that had been incurred in the course of volunteer work, and his concern that volunteers with only medical coverages leave volunteers exposed to potential financial hardship because of a lack of the disability coverage. So I don't know if an option might be out there. Perhaps, Paul, you could speak to it, of if a county chose medical insurance as opposed to workers' comp, are there disability insurance programs available at a reasonable cost as an option?
Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But we had one email from one county responding to that issue this morning indicating that they checked and determined that disability coverage was not available from the providers that they checked with. But that's one county, one call. I wouldn't take that as a sign, frankly, as to whether or not it's available or widely available.
Maybe you could talk to that duck we see on TV. I'm not sure. Are there any questions? Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned the work group. Could you expand on who the work group was, in particular, you know, how many people represented the volunteers themselves?
Madam Chair, Representative Matthews, just pulling up my report here. The work group, in addition to the chairs, included Representative Cowan, Oregon Hospitals Association, a sheriff, law professors, DHS, and then there were several insurance representatives from city, county, and private insurance as well, Office of Emergency Management, Department of Justice, local health officials.
This is from page 3 of the report that
yes,
we provided.
Yes, that
was in the, 2 search and rescue volunteers.
If I might, Representative Matthews, there the work group was actually done at the request of the Oregon Law Commission. I'll make it clear that it wasn't a legislative request. And there was a big table with lots of lawyers and a few of the rest of us. But there was a representative for search and rescue volunteers at the table.
Okay. Follow up if I could.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In respect to your situation, thank you very much. The unfunded mandate, and I get that, and I know how difficult it is. And so one question that came up in that email that she or the letter that we have on record was about consistency throughout the counties. Is somebody going to be protected differently in Multnomah County than they would, you know, somewhere else? That's one question. And then the other end is, I understand the unfunded mandate. I get the balance of costs. I also am very sympathetic towards the unprotected liabilities or the unfunded liability for the volunteer that may think they're covered. So I guess where I'm at is, and again, I get the unfunded mandate. But if we're doing just so much to where somebody thinks they're protected, but it's just enough to where they're actually harmed greater by thinking that they have this protection that doesn't exist, I'd really have a hard time entering down that road because I wouldn't want people to engage, and yet we do hold them in high value, and we need our volunteers to continue to step forward, especially in search and rescue. So I don't know how we get there. Maybe you can just address the consistency issue, and is it going to be different coverage and therefore different treatment throughout the counties in one individual's response, or is it by their county of origin?
Madam Chair, Representative Matthews, I believe that's covered both by memorandums of understanding among the jurisdictions and current law. My understanding is, and I checked with county attorneys on this issue, they said it is covered. There's no doubt about which county you're covered by. And I'd have to look and see exactly how that works, except to say that they said it's really clear. There's no question about which county covers which.
Are there other questions? Okay, I think you've clearly laid out the question before us, and it is a option of this committee as to which way to move this forward. We do need, I would like to remind the committee that the Dash 1 amendments are clarifications of the initial work, and so we need to move the Dash 1s to clarify the, I'm sorry, my train of thought was broken there for a moment, and then the question kind of before the committee is whether or not to move the Dash 2s. Okay. Thank you. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3021 and take a brief recess because I've lost my administrator. Actually, I sent him on an errand, and he'll be right back. So we're just taking a brief recess. Okay, thank you. We will reconvene the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. Thank you. Just had a little technical work that had to get straightened out there. So to refresh everyone's memory, we have closed the public hearing on House Bill 3021, and I will now open a work session on House Bill 3021 for the purpose of moving one or both of these amendments so that we will know what we are seeking a fiscal
for.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Dash one amendments to House Bill 3021.
Thank you. Representative Riley moves approval of the dash one amendment for House Bill 3021. Is there any discussion on the dash one amendment? Seeing none, Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Esposito?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Riley?
Aye.
Whitener?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Matthews?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Having received the necessary majority, dash one amendments to House Bill 3021 are approved.
Madam Chair.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3021.
We now have a motion before us to approve the dash two amendment to House Bill 3021. Might there be any discussion on this one? Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Madam Chair, I probably will vote against this. The wording of this is very uncomfortable. The fact that there's a lot of questions that come to my mind of, okay, what if you have insurance? Does that include disability? What, you know, do people know this going in? And I mean, it just brings up a lot of questions to me and uncertainty. So, therefore, I will be a no on this.
I understand. I suspect that there's difference of opinion on the committee. I think for clarity, the intent, and I'm going to sort of look for head nodding in the back here, okay, is that the medical insurance is provided by the respective county jurisdiction in lieu of workers' comp, but the disability is a separate issue and doesn't necessarily come with that. And I see heads nodding that that is correct. Is there any Representative Matthews?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share Representative Esquivel's comments for comments previously stated as well. I do have, I guess, very concerned about how this will impact those folks that are out there, you know, volunteering their time in the search and rescue capacity. I'd like to obviously look into that a little bit deeper and further. I worry about creating a false sense of security within these fine folks that are doing this work. And the lack of consistency that might exist. So I'd like to look into it further, but so I will not be supporting the dash two today.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Kump and Representative.
Call it gut instinct. It's kind of the same thing. What I'm going to do is do a courtesy yes in that with the statement, because I too have this like, okay, how is this really going to work? I question that, just the whole process. It seems like it's either or, but it's not really defined very clearly. But I would want to state that maybe the Senate could do a little more investigation on this.
Okay, thank you. Representative Freeman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. When they held up the chart about the counties that were having revenue problems, parts of the three counties I represent are some of the highlighted ones there. So I'm very cautious to do anything that's going to be an unfunded mandate to the counties. As much as we're having issues here and we're working through them, the counties are really in bad shape in parts of the state, and I think we've got to be very careful. I do wish on the dash two amendments where it says either or, if we could put, and maybe the Senate could do this, if counties desire to give both, it would be okay too. For some reason, we've said either or, and I hate to limit them to that too. And I recognize that, you know, workman's comp kind of takes care of everything, but if they want it as a benefit to do medical too, we should allow that. So, but I will be voting for the dash two amendments.
Thank you.
I would suppose if the Dash 2s were to pass, that question about whether it would preclude it, offering both could get answered. My initial response is that it isn't intended to preclude that, but that
and it may be redundant.
It would
too.
Be very unlikely that the so representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know if this was answered when we were out of the room or what, but I'm wondering about the situation where, and this is in an emergency situation, it's not the norm, and how do you get instant health insurance? And you just put someone on and then take, because usually we have to wait for an open enrollment to get on, and I would imagine it would be the county's health insurance. I'm just curious.
Thank you. I actually, because I asked that question of Paul Snyder earlier today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss it?
No, not in this hearing, but in a one-on-one conversation. Paul, would you? I would like to invite him back to answer that question for more than just me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I think in this flurry of emails that I have here, I was told somewhere that the county would have to pick an individual up for a period of at least a month. And then it's a monthly premium that the county pays, so you don't have somebody on for one search and rescue operation and then off the next day.
And a follow-up, if I could, please. That is, if I'm understanding correctly, that is the procedure that some counties are currently following for their existing search and rescue folks. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
That is.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but I think that, committee, this is a bit of a challenge, and it is simply a decision, a direction, decision of which direction that this is going to fall to this committee. It was a debate on the work session, and I frankly supported the option for counties to do one or the other, and will be doing so again. Because it's a system that seems to be working for them, with rare exceptions and some challenging situations that we have heard about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to not get you, Representative Widener.
That's okay, Madam Chair. I just, for the record, want to state that I worry a little bit about this as well, because our rural counties are hurting very badly, and this could be a fairly big expense for them to take on at this time, and I'd rather see let's get the economy turned around and then just revisit Dash 2s alone as another bill. So,
thank you. Okay. With that, we have before us a motion for approval of the Dash 2 amendment. Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Esposito?
No.
Kahn?
Aye.
Riley?
Aye.
Widener?
No.
Freeman?
Aye.
Matthews?
No.
Chair Callan?
Aye. Thank you. Having received a required majority, Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 3021 is also approved. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3021, and we'll revisit this when we have appropriate fiscal. Thank you, committee. That's a little more difficult than some of what we have to deal with. With that, I will open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3470.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3470 defines veteran for purposes of Section 3, Article 11A of Oregon Constitution, takes effect only if amendment to the Oregon Constitution by the House Joint Resolution 7, which was recently passed here in 2009, changing eligibility requirements for loan from the Oregon War Veterans Fund is approved by people at next general election. If House Joint Resolution 7, 2009 is approved by the people, measure takes effect on January 1st, 2011. There are no amendments to this. As you recall, we've had one hearing on the 9th, the 14th. Now today on the impact, we have a no revenue impact, and we have a fiscal statement that has been issued to us, it's been before us, indicating that this measure is indeterminate at this time in terms of the fiscal, and I have spoken to legislative fiscal on this, and bottom line is that LFO doesn't have enough information to really give a dependable, quantifiable fiscal impact. There are too many variables, as we have learned previously, and we can't say with any certainty at this time. Note that this loan program is funded through sales of bonds, so it is other funds and not general fund dollars. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Committee, as a reminder, we have passed House Joint Resolution 7 detailing some changes to the Veterans Home Loan position, and this is the implementing legislation that we were required to process should that resolution pass. And I have no one signed up to testify on this bill at this time. We have heard it in the past and were, in fact, just waiting for the fiscal. Is there anyone who has something more to add to this discussion? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3470 and open a work session on House Bill 3470. Do I have a motion? Yes, please.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. We move House Bill 3470 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. We have before us a motion to move House Bill 3470 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, House Bill 3470 is declared passed and will be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Carrier. I will carry this bill. I think it's mine that we had to put together to implement. So I'll try to explain it. Okay. I think I've closed the work session on House Bill 3470. Committee, I have just a couple of items I want to bring to your attention quickly. One is that we also have Senate Bill 8, which has now been referred to this committee. Has it been passed? Maybe it's just come to my attention. It hasn't passed yet, has it?
No, Madam Chair. Yes, it's a brand new one.
It's a brand new one that's being considered in the Senate, which allows volunteer health practitioner licensed in another state to volunteer, limits liability of volunteers, and allows the Oregon Office of Emergency Management to adopt rules relating to volunteer health practitioners and something about receiving benefits during an emergency. Hasn't been heard. I don't know the details of it. I want to just bring it to your attention to maybe watch a bit because I don't know where it fits in with House Bill 3021. It is Senate Bill 8. So I'm not exactly sure what is going on with it, but I just thought I'd make others aware of it. Because it was brought to my attention. And secondly, there have here a letter from Governor Kulongowski to community leaders letting them know that May 8th is Oregon's first Military Family Appreciation Day and encouraging us to do what we can to help our local communities be aware of that.
Thank you.
Sorry. And you are being shared with you as a letter relating to House Bill 3097 for your review. With that, I will close this meeting of the Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. Thank you all. We lost our all but the three most important people. And thank you.
Yep.